For many years, I've had numerous invitations, and I really feel I just wasn't ready. I just didn't feel worthy. Psalms 23 really resonated with me for many years as well. And I hung on to it. And eventually, I think it was last year, the story of Nehemiah, the courage that he had. I happen to have the book, in fact, in my house. And it just, yeah, in fact, quite a few of these books just happened to land in my house. So I didn't go out to even purchase them. They just were there, thank God, because they really came to me at a time when I needed them. And in fact, at that time when I was reading the story of Nehemiah, I met Renata, and she brought me here, and I really feel that this is my true family. In fact, my family are not saved. I'm shaking, so you can clearly see that. But yes, it is sad that they are not saved, but I have faith. I really have faith. In fact, my mother she's living with a Christian, and when she sent me this text message that she's moving, she's involved in the Eastern philosophy, and I never, ever thought she would consider living with a Christian, and now she is. So I think my prayers are being answered, and quite quickly, in fact. My dad is not saved, but he is married to a Christian. So there is certainly hope, and I just want to say thank you to all of you for really embracing me in each and every way, very uniquely. You really have taken me into your lives. I've even had a new opportunity in my work. I work with Taryn, and it's just opened a whole new life for me. So thank you. And thank you, God. Really, I feel it.
Shucks, it almost had to be third time lucky. I think our worship went has a lot to do with what is my testimony to share tonight. For those of you that don't know, this wasn't any freak show that was going on here. This is just plain the Lord that was working, the Holy Spirit. You read about it in the Bible, it's true. I think this is evidence of it. To get back to my testimony, I got saved about 5 years ago. I grew up in a Christian home, got, the typical thing, rebelled, did my own type of thing. And then the Lord had to use something huge in my life to bring me back to Him. And so everything was cool, I was saved and everything. I was on fire, because I knew who God was, basically, but I didn't know who I was in God. And I had so much self-doubt with who am I in God. I just felt like, sometimes I feel like I'm the biggest guy in church. There's no denying it. But I sometimes felt like I was the smallest of ants when it came to warfare, spiritual warfare. I was always thinking, who am I to fight the fight, basically, And one evening in cell, for instance, Marnus was then still our cell facilitator, and Duncan and Wayne was with me in cell then, those days. I asked the guys to pray for me, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would be working through me not to give a whole lecture on that now. But the guys prayed for me and whatever, and it wasn't like, ooh, there's lightning bolts and everything like that. And there's me now thinking after the time still, am I really filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, Lord, why is there not any miracles happening or whatever? And I just blatantly like that. And it actually took, if I recall, about 6 months for me to really get the reassurance that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I actually had to go to, actually went to a conference of Reinhard Bonnke, and where I just felt there that the Lord was touching me there and then just giving me the reassurance of that part. Sure enough, now I knew I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I still didn't know what really my identity is in having that gift of the Holy Spirit within me. What does it really mean? And it's only revealed to me one evening, in church, Reino just asked if there's somebody that needs to be healed or whatever, once you come to the front. So there's a few people. So I thought, okay, it's cool. You know, I'm just going to stand in the background. I'm not going to go and facilitate for anybody. And being Reino as he is, he's like, won't you just come and pray for him here quickly? You just feel like you can wilt, you know. And so, cool, okay, I thought, you know, I'll try it out. I'll try this thing out. And let's just say, it's like a St. Afrikaans, a skietgebekie or 100 went up. So I was just like, Lord, you know, I can't do this, but I know that you can. And I came out to the gentleman, coincidentally is here in church tonight. I prayed for the guy, and he said to me afterwards that as I was praying for him there and then, he could feel the things happening in his body. And I was just like, oh my word. And so the evening was full of lack of worship going on, and then Raina just asked him coincidentally, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And he's like, no. So I thought, I'm already off the hook now. I'm going to go and have some coffee and like catch up with everybody. Raina's again, would you just pray for him a bit quickly? Okay. And so I thought, okay, well, the Lord stepped in now with him being healed. Let's do it now with him being spirit-filled. And there and then, the guy started praying in tongues right there. And not any glory for me, but glory for God. But I just realized that if you're a child of Christ, you are entitled to getting the victory. You are the conqueror then, with a capital C. Okay, here's the capital C, but I mean, you know what I mean, is that we don't realize who we are in Christ, but he wants that for you. So there maybe is somebody tonight that just needs to reassess that, and like, Lord, who am I in you?
Hi, everyone. I've been in Shofar for a few months now, and this testimony is not that new, but I pray that it would touch your heart. It goes back a few years. Just to sum up very quickly, I grew up in a so-called Christian home. My parents were not very well off. They both had very menial jobs. My mom was a seamstress, and my dad was a driver for an electrical company. So we weren't very well off financially, and I grew up in Durban. So, you know, as you get to high school, you want to think about your career and what's in store for your future. So I was at that point in my life when I was in high school, standard 8 at that time, and grade 10 to most of you. And I really believed that I would want to become a pharmacist one day. But knowing my financial background and the type of jobs that my parents had, I knew it was going to be next to impossible. So I completed matric, and I had to start working immediately. But just to recap a little bit, in my matric year, I got all the forms that I needed to apply to university. But when I realized that there was a registration fee applicable, I almost gave up hope at that time because I wouldn't dare to ask my parents for the money that was needed. And it wasn't a lot, actually, for the upfront registration fee. But I gave up at that time, and I started working. I worked for many years in the employee remunerations department in HR and that. And I studied a little bit as well just to help me progress in my career at that time. And I got to a certain level in my career at that time where I felt I couldn't get any further, and I actually started getting bored in that job and just trusting God, you know, to give me direction for my life. And I couldn't picture myself being 60 and sitting in that job, you know, sitting in that position. So I didn't realize, but the passion to study, you know, started being renewed in my life. And with the help and support of, you know, people in my cell group at that time, I decided to apply to university, and I applied to Wits University, and that was the only university that I applied to, even though I checked out, you know, other universities. And very amazingly, God allowed me to be accepted into Wits after many years of finishing matric. And I was accepted, but there was still that concern about how I would support myself financially, knowing that I would be out of work for 4 years. It was quite daunting to think of. And I had to really seek God's will, because everybody questioned, you know, do you know what you're doing? This is something people talk about but don't actually do. You know, do you know what you're getting yourself into? This? So I was surrounded by negativity, but I knew in my heart of hearts that this is what I wanted to do. And it was in January 2002 when I went to a prayer meeting that a friend invited me to, at a church that I've never been to before. And there was a lady speaker from the U.S. there whom I've never heard of. I still don't remember her name. But she brought a prophetic word that evening. And she said that there are people here that are looking to that are considering changing careers, and your concern is your finances. But God is saying your finances are taken care of. So that was my final confirmation that I received, because up until that time I was really concerned. As much as I was accepted and all of that, I really wanted God to give me that peace of mind to say that my finances would be sorted out somehow. So during those 4 years, I was blessed with temporary employment from my previous employer. I was able to buy property in that same year, which I was able to let out, and that was a source of income. And also God just blessed me with friends that were supportive. And as much as they were very concerned, you know, wondering where this was headed to, I had the support of my friends and my family. And so I was able to graduate in 2005 in the minimum time that was required to study. And God has just accelerated my career since then. Every new job that I've been into has in effect been a promotion, and he's just done what only God can do. And I just want to encourage each of you that, you know, to go with the desire that God has placed in your heart. If you're walking in his truth, then he is going to fulfill that heart's desire. It may take a lot of time and a lot of hard work, but he will bring his purposes to be fulfilled. And I find that happening so much in my life now. I have a real passion for students that come from an impoverished background, and I'm blessed with the opportunity at my new job here in Cape Town. By the way, I just moved to Cape Town last year in July. Also a blessed opportunity from God. And we have a program going on at work. It's called the Bridge to Employment program, where we mentor students from impoverished backgrounds. And it's really the kind of opportunity that I've been waiting for. So it's just God fulfilling his purpose in my life, and I believe he can do the same for every one of you, because it's not about who we are that he blesses us, but because of who he is.
Hello. I shared my testimony on Wednesday in Seoul, and Reno liked it so much, so he asked me to share it again. And I just want to agree with what Manas was saying, what God does for us. He's got so much more for everyone else as well. And I really feel that the reason I need to share this is because he wants to do this for someone else as well, maybe for one or two or three people. I grew up in a Christian house, just like James. But I talk a lot, hence I'm standing here in front. And when I was little, I used to talk even more than what I talk now. And I grew up with memories of always being asked to change, always being asked to keep quiet, always being asked to do something I wasn't doing at the time. So that's how I grew up, and that's how my foundation was formed, was always trying to change who I am. And it became part of my identity. My identity was always trying to change who I am. It was never good enough who I was. And probably as a result of that, I ended up in a very abusive relationship, physically and emotionally abusive, and I was in a full-on sexual relationship, and it took me 6 years to get out of, and I got out of it, and just after that, my father passed away, And as, yeah, probably as a result of all that brokenness, after my father passed away, I met a friend, and the friend brought me to church, and I got saved, and that's the whole, that's the end of it. That's where the happy ending is supposed to be, but, yeah, as God probably does for each and every one of us, when I got saved, He started dealing with all my things, and He started making me the person that He would like me to be, which I still am not. And, yeah, I went into therapy, trying to deal with all my stuff, trying to accept that who I am is actually okay. And, I got a lot of anxiety attacks. I got very depressed because everything just came out too quickly, and it was very hard for me to deal with, and I was very depressed, and I was on medication. And then in 2009, that was after I was on the medication for about 6 months. Raina just started working at the church, and he was preaching in gardens one night, and two people were testifying about their depression being healed. And then Raina said that he really feels God wants to pray specifically for people with depression tonight. And people prayed for me, and for the first time in my life, I could physically feel the healing in myself. I could physically feel how I was being healed by God. And you know, my psychiatrist didn't want to believe me, and she didn't want me to go off medication, so I just told her, well, she better tell me because I'm going. And I went off the medication, and I've not had anxiety attacks since, and I've not been feeling depressed since. But I just want to say that I've been healed from depression, but that will always be the enemy's first tool that he uses to try and get back at me. He will always try and steal my joy. He will always try and take away my joy and make me feel depressed again, to make me think that I wasn't healed and to make me think that I'm not who I am now. I'm not the joyful person that's accepted by everyone as Jesus is trying to tell me I am. So I just want to encourage someone here that you have been healed from what you were supposed to be healed of. And just believe that and just stay on that truth. And as I've said, I believe really that God wants to do this for someone else as well.
Hi everyone, I'm Yunel Westhazen. I'm going to share something to you tonight that not many people know. About, say, 2008, I realized God showed me that I'm struggling with a spirit of inferiority. Hectically. I can't, wasn't able to speak to people a lot. And although I was a very bubbly person, I was super inferior, and I felt I'm worthless and I can't do anything. So what happened after that, I went to one of my friend's fathers, and he's a pastor, and I just talked to him about it, and he just prayed for me. And then I drove back, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't like this thing, and He needs to come and take it away, like everything. I don't know how it's going to be possible." Sorry, I'm going to cry. But I said to Him, there must be a root, and I don't know what that root is, but He does. It was a really long struggling, and and about, I think it was after me and Ferdi met, I think in 2009, I went for counseling for something completely different. And then the Lord came and showed to me, through all of those stuff, the inferiority just came back and back. And me and the counselor started working through it. And I said to the Lord, "Okay, well, just show me, because I don't know." And it was weeks and weeks of struggling. And one night, I just sat in front of the Lord and He said, "Okay, I've been fake in front of you for my whole life. Even though I know you, even though I'm saved, even though I'm Holy Spirit filled, I've been fake. I've never spoken the truth to God." And I said to Him, "Lord, I hate myself 100%. I don't like who I am. I don't like what You've made. I'm a mistake. You've made a mistake." And He said to me, "Well done, like, that's what I want to know, because now we can go on. Now you've realized what's going on." And after that week, I went for counseling to the counselor, and we spoke about lots of things. And then lots of you know this, but my dad died when I was 3 years old. I have two stepfathers. Wasn't great. Not a father. And basically what happened was, it came out, I didn't know this, but it came out that throughout my life, I've been blaming myself for my dad's death. Because the night he died, I wasn't able to sleep because I forgot my teddy at my friend's house. So he drove to my friend's house, fetched my teddy, and when he came back, he died. And at that time, even though I was 3 years old, the devil came and he said to me, "You're never allowed to, like, make a mistake. You're never allowed to be just a child. You have to be full Wasser. I don't know what's that English. Mature, always. Because when you're not mature, someone dies. When you're not perfect, someone's going to get hurt." And that came out in my counseling session. And sure, that was hectic. And I said, "Lord, is this my root?" Like, and he said to me, "Yes, because all the inferiority, everything that happened was because of that one lie that the devil came and told me when I was 3 years old, not knowing it." And I really have to come and can stand in front of you today and say it's such a testimony, because even though I'm still struggling sometimes with inferiority, like what we said, the devil wants to, like, kick you back on that inferior, like, place. But he's really came and just delivered me in so many areas and came to show me, look, that's not true. It wasn't you who killed your father. It's a lie, and the devil has been telling you that your whole life. So just come into my truth and believe what I tell you, and keep on saying that. Keep on believing that, even though when you feel you don't believe it, you just keep on speaking it. Because speaking the truth has to bring life. Because the truth is word, and the word is life. So yeah, I just really want to testify and just, like, encourage you to never go back to the lies that the devil tells you, because he ensnares you completely and he keeps you away from your passion and your destiny. So just amen to the God.
Hi, evening, everyone. About 11 years ago, I made a very interesting choice, a very difficult choice to follow the road that God has laid before me. I just broke up with my girlfriend of 5 years, and I decided I'm going to go all out for God. I'm going to do what it takes to get to know this God that everyone is talking about. And I was working in an interesting work, a job that wasn't very difficult. And as the years went by, as time went by, I thought to myself, oh, this road of singleness, this road of being alone, it's getting a bit long. And then throughout this time, I thought, this road is a narrow road. God tells us it's a narrow road. 4 years ago, 7 years down the line, I decided to leave my job in B, and I applied for over 70 jobs. I got a good qualification. I'm an industrial engineer. Surely it wouldn't be difficult. The one SMS that I received from a friend staying in Cape Town turned out to be the calling of God. I got that one. And I thought to myself, this is a difficult road. Moved to Cape Town, didn't know anyone, came here, and I met up with a group of guys that really sought after God's heart. They were very legalistic, but they sought out God. And I thought, this is where I belong. And they made the road even harder. And later that year, in 2008, God gave me a woman, a Brazilian, that turned out to love God more than I did. And she felt the same way I felt about her. And I thought, marrying a Brazilian is a difficult thing. Because I didn't want to do it without the parents' approval. So I went over there, got the approval, and we started dating. Dated for a year, got the approval of the parents to actually get married. And with that came the financial burden of trying to finance her studies at university. Now, all of you guys who are studying at university and are international students, you know that the amount of money that you need to put down every single year is quite a lot. But even through that, God has been faithful. And we are married now, and we have found a home here with my brothers and sisters, you guys. And I wanted to share this scripture with you. It's Habakkuk 3 that says, from verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in the God, my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Whenever I felt like this road is getting long, this road is getting too narrow, I could dance in it because of the feet that He gave me. So to God all the glory.
Hi everybody, my name's Megan, for those who don't know me. I just want to share something that happened a few weekends ago. It was completely out of the blue. A few of us went to go and watch the movie Courageous at the V&A waterfront. And the movie was very cool principles and that. And when we were coming out of the movie, we came down the escalators there in the waterfront area, and there was this stand there. I think it was for some Nokia phone or something, I don't know, something fancy. And it was a very interactive kind of stall where there were little pieces of paper hanging up. I don't know if people had written things, and some other stand. And then there was a piano standing there. And the piano had a big sign over it that said, "Play me." So I don't have a real piano at home in any case. So I was obviously trained on a piano. So I thought, well, it says play me, you know. So I went and I thought, why not, you know, and I went and I sat down and then I suddenly thought, what am I going to play? I can't think of anything except worship. I mean, I don't know anything else, actually. So I sat and I said to Lorna, I was like, come, you know, come sing with me. And I started playing a Revelation song, which is Worthy is the Lamb Who is Slain. And we just played, and there were quite a few of us, Don was there and Stephen, a lot of people who are actually also in the band, and then Lorna, obviously, and just sang. And we just worshipped, actually. Like, we just worshipped over and over, and, I mean, free worship for a while, and went back to the song, and back, it was just so nice, I don't know, so... Just carried on, but I mean, I'm looking, it's an upright piano, and I'm looking at this upright piano, and having fun, and worshipping. And then eventually it was like, okay, I suppose I can't play the song any more times, we've done it so many times now. So I kind of petered to a stop and whatever, and when it was finished, and sort of stood up and whatever, and when I turned around, I'd only seen the piano, and Neil was also there, and Neil and Ilona turned around, and there was this crowd of people at the back who had all, like, gathered, and I mean... You know, I mean, we weren't performing anything. We were literally just worshiping. And it's just like, wow. And everybody starts clapping and a whole round of applause and whatever. And we're like, okay, that's awesome. So, and as I was, I mean, I was actually shaken. Like, when I was walking away, obviously it was just the Holy Spirit had been there, you know, so powerfully. And so we were all walking away. I don't know if anybody else was talking. I was a bit dumbstruck. Anyway, but then the scripture crossed my mind where in John, where are we now? John 12, verse 32, where he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." And I really felt like that's what happened. Like, literally, we just lifted up the name of Jesus. We were just worshiping. And these people just, they were just drawn to it. They were just drawn to him. And so that was very, very cool for me. And on a personal note, actually, I realized this week, I also testified in small group. I had a big issue with performing on the piano. I've been classically trained even from when I was about 5, I think. All through, I had a terrible teacher, really, really broke me down. And I had a real fear of performance. I told my small group, I ran off the stage once. When I had to lead the whole school in assembly and singing a hymn because I made a big mistake and I couldn't find the note and it was just terrible. So I ran off and I really had a block ever since then about playing. And it's amazing because the Lord has actually, He's actually taught me how to worship Him. So I'm playing, but I'm worshiping Him. And it's not about the performance, it's not about anything like that, but a gift that He'd given me, He actually restored in that way. And that night was actually also awesome because if I'd known there were people there, I would have frozen completely. But because I didn't, yeah, it was awesome. So God was really glorified, and I'm just grateful to God that He can also do that and could have used us to do it. So, yeah.
Goeiemiddag, ek is Werner van der Merwe. Ek wil net sê, okay, ek weet nie eintlik hoe om te begin nie. In die eerste plek gaan Afrikaans praat, en menige van julle is hier soos Engels. In elk geval, en iets het gister met my gebeur. Ek werk by Willow Bridge in Durbanville.
He's working at Willow Bridge and something happened yesterday.
Okay, cool, all right. No, it's just I feel more comfortable in Afrikaans. Then I'm not going to okay, never mind. Anyway, so I work at Willow Bridge in Durbanville. And, to make a long story short, yesterday a girl came past me in the job that I do, and she's 8 years old. And we started to talk because I noticed her physique, and she's very thin, very scrawny, and I was like, so I started to talk to her, like, find out what happened with her. And she says she basically suffers from diabetes 2. So that's the very dangerous one. So then I took a pitch and I said, listen here, that when I was a year and 6 months, I had my first asthma attack. So, just to add something, so my parents basically, they're very happy. They managed to get me to 33. So I started to, speak to this girl, and I said to her that when I was a year and 6 months, I had my first asthma attack. And, we just started to chat, and like I wanted to know what's wrong with her, and how can I help this girl? Because I never felt nobody else when I was that age. Nobody else helped me, so I thought of giving back. And I said to her that basically when you can't eat a slice of cake, then get try salt biscuits. To start to eat salt biscuits, and if you can't drink a Coke, start liking water, and basically make your own identity as soon as possible in your life. Because, so the moral of the story is that I said to her that because of my asthma, I decided to do art. God gives you many talents in life, and one of them that He's bestowed upon me is art. So I said to her, it's very similar. I'm just trying to give you this knowledge from one person to another. Basically, if you were given some a little bit of a back terugsit in your lewe, help me with that word. A little bit of a setback in life, then you have to grow, and you have to become another. You have to create your own personality in life to become somewhere. And I'm standing here. I still have a long way to go in my Christianity and to find the Lord. But I just felt like I wanted to share this with you today.
Hello, everyone. Just want to share something really cool that God told me in worship. Like, I was just that concept of, like, I want to pursue the Lord, which is coming. I was like, Lord, I'm going to pursue you. He's just like, you can't pursue me. I'm the bridegroom. I pursue you. And whatever you do is just a response to the love that I'm showing you. And I just thought that was so cool. And that's that concept of the glory of the Lord being everywhere and our eyes just to be open to see His love. And that's what makes us respond to it. But I just want to quickly share something cool that happened. Manas asked me to share some of my crazy testimonies. So this week, Friday, I was on it was a Miller's Lite advert. And I sat next to this lady, started chatting to her, and we were like just in the background. So I was talking. And eventually she said to me, listen, you need to come over to my house because I've got a lot of physical problems you need to pray for. And I said, okay, what's wrong? And she said, no, well, my gallbladder has burst and I'm like in constant pain. I need to go for operation now and this and that. I said, but then I'll just pray for you. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs and stuff, so I'm sure God can take care of this. And so just there in the Hazen Buzz, it's like in a club scene. We're like sitting and I'm like, Lord, I just pray healing over the stomach now. I said, so what do you want? Like a new gallbladder, I guess. Yes, okay. So I was like, Lord, I just pray against all pain now in Jesus' name, and I pray for a new gallbladder. And I said, okay, so what do you feel? And she's like, ooh, it's feeling better. And then she said, okay, I said, okay, well, we're trusting for 100%. So I prayed again, and she says, no, it's still there. And I said, I was just like, it'll be you. And then she's like, it's gone. And God just healed her on the spot. And then I was actually sharing with Anna earlier this afternoon. Like, I think where a big thing happened for me was you know, a long time I wasn't convinced that God always wanted to heal. So it's always like, Lord, if you want to pray this person, if you want to heal this person, then please heal him or whatever. So there's always that doubt because I didn't actually know God's heart. The fact that when he said he's died for every sickness and every sin on the cross, like by his stripes, like every person is meant to receive healing. You know, so for a long time I was kind of like, does God want to heal? Doesn't he want to? And then there was this, am I praying right? Like, am I quoting enough scriptures when I'm praying for healing? Like, by your stripes we are human. And I think when we were in the Congo last year, I think there was just quite a memorial in my life concerning that, because this lady came forward and she was lame. She'd had a stroke on the left-hand side of her body, and I was praying for her and praying for her, praying for her, praying for her, and she felt nothing. And I turned around, I just started weeping, and I said, God, I know you want to heal, and I know you're good, and I know it's got nothing to do with me, and I will turn around and keep on praying for the sick. And I turned around and this lady came and she was like, I said, because they all speak French. And so she touched her whole body and I was like, oh, get the interpreter. And I said, what's wrong with this woman? And he said, no, she's got pain all over her body. And I said, okay. And I've just been weeping and I was like, Lord, just heal her. And I said, ask her what she's feeling. And then she said she felt a warmth going through her whole body and all the pain had left. And from that day on, I just knew who God was. And that is actually where faith comes from. And people say, faith comes from hearing. Faith just comes from knowing who God is. Like, I know he wants to heal. So when I see people on the street, then I just go and pray for healing, and God heals them. And that was so cool. That lady, then the woman just stormed me for prayer, and it was so cool. And now I get to pray for people on sets. When we were on, we were shooting Franz Grenier's new movie in a house, and we were hosted by this lesbian couple. And the one said to me, nah, back is really sore. And I said, oh, is your one leg longer than the other one? And she's like, yeah. And I said, I had the same problem, and my leg grew out, and I'm healed. And she's like, so no, I'd like to pray for you. And I prayed for her, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. And you put your fingers on the ankles. I'm going to sit against the wall, and you can easily see the leg. And I prayed for her, and I was like, leg, I command you to grow in Jesus' name. Be healed. And nothing was happening. And I look up, and she's still looking at her leg. And in my mind, I'm just like, Lord, I know you can do this. And I look down, and they were the same length. And she was like, Alessandro Risala Linda. And then Franz came out. Franz Cornelio Hansi's brother, and he's like the lead in the movie as well. And he came out and he said to me, I forgot to tell you the other day when my fever blister came out, and you, because he started getting fever blister, and he's like the lead, and that is just not going to work. And I just said, well, let me pray for you. And I just, like, fever blister, be healed. And he said, I forgot to tell you, but a half an hour later, the fever blister was completely gone. And that just becomes so cool, because I realized, like, these are like God's love language, just to, like, pour out love. And as I said, like, not even, it's people who haven't even chosen him. He's just like, I've chosen you already. I'm going to love you anyway, whether you choose me or not. And it's just so cool. So just all the honor and glory to God. And may each one of us have just such a fresh revelation of his love and his ability and his willingness. Yeah, I just, how much he loves us. Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you. My testimony is about God's provision in my life. I've, like, if you know me, or like, you spend a few months with me, you know that I smile a lot. And this is the first attack that the enemy had on me. He wanted to steal the joy in my life. So last year, like the first semester of last year, my laptop was stolen. 3 months later, my bank account was cloned. So they stole all my savings. And it was sad. But, and like, I remember I spoke with Rudy and he told me, no, the Lord is going to bring it back and it's going to be more than what you lost. I said, yeah, Rudy, okay. I believe. I didn't tell him that I didn't believe, but yeah. I guess now he knows. But during that time, I was really sad. Like, I still smiled, but I was not really happy. But I remember one day, I had an exam that day. It was a three-hour exam. I came back. I was so depressed. Like, my throat was so sore from the depression. I wanted to cry. But, like, I think when you grow up and you become a man, it becomes really difficult to cry. I don't know. It just happens. I don't know why. I tried. Didn't happen. Like, and I got an SMS from Liana. He said, check your emails. And I checked my email, and I had given them my CV, like, in September, so 2 months late, or 3 months later, the work that I applied for, they were replying. They say, we'll be able to offer you a job for the December, January vacation. So when I read the email, okay, I read it twice, okay. And I was still depressed, but then after reading the email and understood what it meant and what it represented in my life, I cried after that. And like, I remember I was just like, was sitting down, like weeping on my knees. Cause all my life I always felt that I had a question mark on my head. Like, I grew up without knowing who my father is. Oh, I still don't know who he is. And like, I came to church and they were always speaking about God is our father and like father's love. But I couldn't relate to what they were talking about. Like, even in a small group when they're talking about God's love as a father, I couldn't relate to it. Like, it's because I'm doing engineering. If you can't see it physically, it's very difficult for me to understand it. Like, if I didn't have first-hand experience with it. So I couldn't understand what they were talking about. But that day, like, after reading that email and what the email was saying, the email said, like, we'll be able to offer you a job. But it went on and saying that the job offer for 6 weeks. We'll pay you for working for us. The company is Janelle. I know that's the best company to work for as an engineer, as a mechanical engineer. Just to my opinion, I think it is. And they said they also put me in a 4-star hotel for 6 weeks. I was like, okay. And, but that was cool. Don't get me wrong. That was very cool. But what it meant for me was, for the first time, I felt what God's love was all my life. I felt now I know what my identity is as a son of God. And I felt that day that I could be anything, that I don't need a degree to identify myself. I remember I was speaking with Reno the other day at his house. I was telling him, like, I'm so happy right now that even if I fail, I know that I'll be someone, because I don't put my value of my life in my studies. I know that God has a plan in my life, that He wants me to be a leader, to lead a generation that will follow Him. And I remember speaking to him, I was like, oh, cool. So yeah. Despite all that, like, God did come through in the dark times in my life where I lost everything, and He did really bring everything back, like Rudy said. And just want to say, like, when you're like in dark times, just forget the light at the end of the tunnel. Just see God in the darkness.
Can I just get a band to come forward? I just want everybody to close their eyes. Just trust God for something. God has just revealed Himself as provider, as deliverer. It's the one that gives us a new name. It's the one that loves us. The one that saves and sanctifies. And you might have sat there tonight and you have wondered, all these testimonies, are they real? Why do they have what I don't have? Why are these people so peculiar? What's different about them? Who's this God they're talking about? Who's this Jesus they're worshipping? So I just want to ask, if there's anybody here tonight who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't know Jesus is the one that saves, the one that purchased them with His blood, the one that makes a way to the Father. I just want to know, if there's anybody like that tonight, anybody that wants to be saved, anybody that wants a testimony like these people had tonight, I just want you to just raise your hand. Even if there's somebody here that hasn't had that revelation of God being the Father yet, and feels like they haven't been saved yet, feel they haven't had access to the Father yet through the blood of Jesus. You have to accept Jesus, that That's the prerequisite to get to the Father. He's the way to the Father. And it will mean a lot for your life. It will cost you your whole life. It will cost you everything. But there's one guarantee, and that is that He will come, and He will come and heal you, and He will come to restore you. And He will come and give you joy that nothing in this world can give you. And as we were just worshiping earlier, you possibly even felt God's tangible presence here among us. God just did something different in worship. You didn't understand that. And the word says the things of God is not understandable by the carnal mind. So for you to understand anything weird that happened tonight, or anything that everybody else is experiencing, you have to get saved. So I just want to invite you. I just want to throw out the invitation out there. Is anybody here that hasn't been saved yet? I just want to give you opportunity now to just lift your hand. Just put up your hand. It's going to cost you your whole life. It's going to cost you everything. But the rewards is just going to outnumber everything it's going to cost you. You're going to have eternal rewards. You're going to be with the Father for eternity, and you're going to have meaning to your life. Your life is not going to be about things of this world anymore. It's going to be about pleasing God. And it's going to have purpose. You're going to know every day why you wake up. You're going to know every night that you have lived your life that day, because you've lived for the one purpose you've been created, and that's to serve God, to serve His purposes with your life. So is there anybody tonight that hasn't done that yet? Hasn't given your life to Jesus yet? I want to give you one final opportunity to just respond. Jesus is here. His presence is here. He wants to save you. Okay. All right. We're just going to finish off with a few songs of worship. We just want to thank God for what He's done in our midst. Thank God for this memorial stone He's just laid down. What He's done for us the last few months and the last few years, for some instances. We just want to worship Him and want to thank Him for what He's going to do in the next 3 months. And we're going to go from glory to glory. Okay.